So what that did was drew upon student and librarian perceptions and experiences to evaluate what was going on in terms of quantity and quality for information literacy instruction. And of course, what that also does is provide that context for what's going on here and what our current participants are experiencing or can be expected to experiencing. Well, what that audit showed us is that students actually recognize the importance of information literacy skills, but they're really not aware that there is support available to them. The LibQual survey shows that students want more instruction to improve efficiency of their research practices and to reduce the amount of time they spend learning how to use the systems and services at the university. Now, this finding is completely consistent with everything that we know about students' information seeking, that convenience, time saved, those are the primary criteria by which students will judge the value of this kind of thing for them. Okay, that's what matters to them. So they want help learning how to use the library, but actually they don't know where to go. So they don't understand that there's help in the library, and that in fact the library is full of highly qualified staff that are there to do exactly that for them. So they're generally unaware of the instructional opportunities that are available to them through the library system. However, they do associate scholarly success with information literacy skills, and they believe that having that skill set will make them more efficient in using the library.
Sorry, kind of.
Yeah.
Those LibQual results, are they from all faculties?
Yeah, they're from across campus. Yeah. Yeah.
I just wonder if you take just a social science.
No, that's broadly based. So what else is going on here at the U of A? Well, obviously there's an awful lot of emphasis placed on subject guides, which provide really good, solid help for undergraduates. But we really don't know how much they're being used. It's impossible to tell to what degree these things are actually making a difference for undergraduates, whether they find them and whether they're used. But there's also some courses and sessions available on campus. We know that Augustana Library in particular offers 21 different discipline-specific information literacy courses. Now that's specific, that's unique to that campus. There's also a transitional year program that's offered where students can learn some of these skills in a credit-bearing environment. But those courses are actually quite expensive to take. And that, in fact, may be a barrier to students taking them. There's also orientation sessions offered to all interested international students, so that's another area of emphasis here at the University Library System. And we do know that instructional sessions are offered by Rutherford Library, the Social Sciences and Humanities Library, where approximately 50% of the English 100 or 101 students get some sort of instruction every year. Okay, so 50%. That means 50% aren't getting it. We also know from that audit that about 3/4 of current instructional practice occurs within a 4-credit course taught by a teaching faculty here on campus. That librarian-taught courses are rare, with the exception of what's going on at Augustana. Drop-in and new student sessions are common. And of course, lots of informal instruction goes on one-on-one at the reference desk. Okay, everybody in this room, I think, is well aware of that. And that InfoLit survey demonstrated that those folks doing instructional work in this library system are seeking more pedagogical training for that work and professional development in instructional practice. So there is both an understanding that that would be helpful and a desire to get more professional development in that area. Now, there's lots of folks here from the library system, so if you'd like to challenge anything that I've said there or add anything, I'd be happy to respond to that at this point.
What do you want to say by librarian-taught courses are still rare?
Yeah. It means a librarian teaching an entire course, right? Librarians very typically will go into another course taught
by... It's not that it's taught by... like associate staff?
No.
Versus librarians?
No. I meant versus librarians versus teaching faculty from a discipline, right, from a subject area. Yeah. Any other comments there? Okay. Can't be wildly off your realities then. Okay, now this is what I find fascinating. These are the results of that James Madison Information Literacy Skills Test done with the high school students, okay, about this time last year. So we've got 103 students taking this test, and look at our mean, 50%. 50% is what the average was for the results of that test. Highest score was 83.3%. And this is not what the test developers would even call proficient. Okay. Lowest score, 16.7%. And I should also say that we spent an awful lot of time playing around statistically with the test results to make sure that they weren't tainted by students not taking the test seriously, just, you know, randomly assigning answers and that sort of thing. So we're fairly confident that these are reliable figures. Okay, that they're a reasonable reflection of how students were able to perform on that test. And here's a little bit of a breakdown according to the ACRL standards, and I think most of you are familiar with those, but just so that everybody's on board here. Standard one refers to defining information needs, okay? And the average score there was 58%. So. Standard two, accessing needed information effectively and efficiently. So that's the searching part. Okay, the searching. Look at that score. That's the lowest score on all of the standards. Standard three, evaluating information. And standard five, understanding the legal and ethical issues. Standard four refers to information use. And that's extremely difficult to test in a multiple choice kind of an instrument, so it's simply not tested by this test. So it's four of the five ACRL standards that are being tested here. But that searching one is really a shocking kind of a figure for me. These students are coming out of high school with pretty low skill levels. All right, now I want to show you just a small subset of the photos that we've been able to gather so far from the photo voice activity. We've blurred out faces, so they ought not to be recognizable. This wasn't taken in this way. It wasn't intended to be an anonymous person, but it's been blurred. And so what you've got here is a young woman, and she's on her telephone. Now, I'm going to do what I ought not to be doing, and that is interpret this photo for me. And for you, because really it's the participant who needs to be interpreting this for us. But until we get her in a focus group talking about these photos, I can't speak to that, okay? So what I see when I look at this photo is phone a friend. Right? Phone somebody for help. So reaching out to make some sort of personal connection to get help for the research that's that needs to be done. Anybody see anything else in this that I'm not seeing? Okay. I found this photo quite interesting. A little depressing because that's, you know, not a good example of a bulletin board. But it's obviously a bulletin board. It's covered with some random papers, some information about pandas games, and the pink things on the left there look like something official, like mark sheets or something, grade sheets, something like that. So I'm not sure what this says, other than perhaps these kinds of venues are useful places for posting things, for informing people of what's going on. But that may not be at all what the student meant here. She's going like this. So she's saying, what the heck? What do I do now? And you'll notice that those shelves there to her right are actually empty. So maybe she's saying,
we've been moving stuff out of those.
Okay, so she's saying, I've come here, I expected to find something. Where the heck is everything?
Yeah.
right? So what gives? The clock. Tick tock, tick tock. Pardon?
I don't think that's morning.
You don't think that's morning?
No.
Not likely. Not for most undergraduates. But I think what it does speak to is the issue of the time pressure, okay, which is felt very, very strongly by undergraduates and by graduate students as well. I will admit that, especially in this context. But I think that this is a very important photo for us who are in the business of information literacy instruction, recognizing those time pressures and understanding just how serious an element that is in the research process. And then the smartphone. Okay, the value of the smartphone for whatever purpose. Searching the catalog, finding things. You know, besides phoning a friend, it's also the immediate access to the net to whatever one needs. So these are just some of the photos that have been turned in so far, and I'm desperate to find out how the participants are going to interpret these. But I found them interesting and thought that they would be interesting for you folks today as well. So I think it also gives you a sense of the value of the photo voice method as a way to get at people's experiences, to get at what really matters to the participants. So, some rather obvious implications, I think, from the data that we've gathered thus far. First of all, the students coming to our doors are not particularly skilled. They're just not. Many of them have had years of experience surfing the web, and they're pretty good at tossing a keyword or two into the regular Google interface and getting a couple of million hits. I'm thinking that's a good thing. And oftentimes, the years of experience that they've had has generated an awful lot of confidence in their skills. So we know that there is, in fact, a big gap between the skills that people are actually able to demonstrate and what they believe to be true about their own research skills. So that's a big challenge for those folks charged with developing research skills of that population. Huge challenge to overcome. We also know that there's a big gap between the curricular mandates for teaching that skill set in the school system and the outcomes associated with that. I think there's lots of good reasons for that. Number one, in grade 12 students that we tested, that skill set is not examinable by the diploma exams in the province. Okay. What teachers will spend time on, what they'll focus on, is what's examinable. Teachers also don't necessarily have this skill set. Okay? You can't teach what you don't know. And one of the other outcomes we're hoping arises from this exercise in data collection is an attempt to inform the BEd, which is just being remodeled and is going to include an element of information literacy skills, research skills development in those teachers, in those new teachers. So a new generation of teachers coming into the system, if there are any jobs for them, will presumably have that skill set. But I think there's an awful lot of folks in the classroom these days who still don't. So you can't teach what you don't know. All of this means is that there's lots of potential here for those folks doing this good work at the university level. Okay? Lots of space in which to operate. Lots of fertile ground, if you like. And I think as a result of this kind of study, there's an opportunity here to develop some pedagogy that's based on an empirical understanding of what the students are bringing to the table and how they're experiencing the development of their information literacy skills as they proceed through their undergraduate degrees. If you're interested, those are the two studies that I referred to earlier. And I do want to acknowledge the other team members, the Teaching and Learning Enhancement Fund here at the University, which is funding this work, the school, the University of Alberta Libraries, and a whole whack of fabulous research assistants without whom we couldn't even begin to do this work. And of course, the participants, few as they are at the moment, we're very grateful for them. So that's all.